We're going to start a new series this morning about the volunteer spirit. And I hope that the words that we speak over the next couple of weeks or so will have impact to your world and will encourage you, inspire you. What I would say very simply is that if you take hold of the simple thoughts that I bring this morning, it could change the way you see your life and the way that you live your life. So hang on to what I have to say to you. So we're speaking about the volunteer spirit, and I want to try and get you to see something a little bit different this morning. Is that okay? Thank you, both of you. And for the rest of you, we're going to try very hard to get you to see something a bit different. And I have called my talk this morning, as part of this volunteer spirit series, I've called it Tent Makers and Salt Shakers. And so here we go. So when we look at our lives, we all have a family, yeah? So we all have family, and we have our education, or we have our job, or we have our business, whatever way that we get our income from, we have those things that are operating. And I would expect the majority of people here this morning are Christ followers. And if you're not and you're here, welcome. But I reckon you're kind of off the hook on this one, but you can listen up and may learn something as I share to the church this morning. And for those of you who have all those things, family and jobs and you're Christ followers, therefore you are likely to belong to a church community, probably this one or another one, and will contribute in one way or another, maybe as a volunteer or maybe not. But in the light of that, I want to bring this scripture from Matthew chapter 5, taken from when Jesus, commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount, and when Jesus was speaking to the crowds. And in Matthew 5:13, it says this. Everyone listen up. It says, "You are the salt." It says, "You are the salt of the earth." I'm going to read on. "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it loses its saltiness or has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." I want to say this to you. I believe that salt, everyone say salt. Being salt, not just having salt, being salt. You know, that there is no choice in this. The Bible says if you are a Christ follower, if you are a believer in Christ and a follower of the way, then that you are salt. It doesn't give you a choice in this. It says you are salt. Being salt is part of your serving. Hear me. Being salt is part of your serving. There's not a choice in this. And therefore, if you are salt and this is part of your serving, you are therefore a salt shaker. Turn to the person next to you and say, "I'm a salt shaker, baby." You did it as well. It was sad, wasn't it? Let me read on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. Let me just give you very, very basic context. The context here, of course, Apostle Paul is writing to the church, a local church in Corinth. And the context here is they are basically explaining their saltiness. This is what our saltiness looks like. So that's basically the context. And we read from verse 14, which says, "Either way, Christ's love controls us." Do you know what? If I'm going to be controlled by anything, I'm glad it's love. Yeah? "Christ's love controls us. And since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life." Wow. Went quiet then. He died for everyone so that those who receive his life or his new life will no longer live for themselves. Are you hearing the word of God? Let me read that bit again. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life, who's received his new life? We have. So that we will no longer live for ourselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. Everyone say it's gone. The old life has gone. And a new life has begun. I thought you'd have got a little bit more excited about that. That's fine. And all of this, too late, and all of this gift is from God. We give you thanks, God Almighty. All of this gift is from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us, everyone listen, God has given us, he's given us, everyone say he's given us. He's given us. Everyone say he's given us. Everyone say he's given me. He has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. I love it. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Not just the people that stand up on this platform. You are Christ's ambassador. I don't care how long you've been here. I don't care if it's your first time. You can meet with Christ. You can be his ambassador from today. You may have only just been a Christian a few months. You are his ambassador. You may have been, I don't know, a Christian for decades. You are still his ambassador. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God, or come back to God. Hey, it's just a different scenario. Or come back to God. You know, we plead with people, come back, be reconciled, be brought back into relationship with God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Don't you love his word? So let me tell you something. I kind of thought about it a different way, and you can come and argue with me theologically, and I'm cool with that. I don't know it all. But I know that some God wants us to be his ambassadors. I know he wants to be servants because Jesus himself, by example, didn't come to be served but to serve. I know that we as his church are the hands and feet of Jesus. I know those things. And so I say this to you. Volunteering is salt shaking. That's what it is. Volunteering is salt shaking. It's part of our ministry of reconciliation. That's what it is. It's part of it. Don't separate it. Well, we do this here, and we do that there, and we do this in another situation. In all scenarios, we are volunteers. We are salt shakers in this earth. Jesus himself said the words, "You are the salt of the earth." You know, I looked up, and Salt can't lose its saltiness. Do you know that? I'm like, whoa, Jesus, you got it wrong. Sodium chloride cannot lose its saltiness. So how does it lose its saltiness? I reckon when we don't use it. If we don't use it, we're going to lose it. It's going to be thrown away because we're not using the gift that God's given to us as His ambassador. Everyone say, I think that may be right. Volunteering is salt shaking. I believe this, our volunteering, don't make it about just stuff, doing stuff. Our volunteering is all about helping people find their way back to God, as quoted in 2 Corinthians 5. All about people finding their way back to God. And therefore, on a Monday, that might look like you encouraging, being a volunteer, encouraging someone in the office at work. Serving them. That ministry of reconciliation. That's what it might look like. It's not just about here. Don't just make volunteering just about here. On a Sunday, mind you, it may look very different. Your serving, your ministry of reconciliation may look like greeting someone at the door. May look like being a barista in postcode. It may look like looking after the cars and being on security in the house. May look like lots of things on a Sunday. And therefore, also on a Thursday, it may look different again. It may look like a powerful God conversation with a friend or a colleague. It's our volunteering. It's our serving. It's that spirit. You know what? It might even look like you coming down here and cutting the grass on site on a Thursday so that when people turn up, they know that we really value them. You may be this morning saying, well, you know what, Dave? I really think it's down to the paid staff of the church to build a church community. I mean, after all, I kind of see quite a few of them. There's quite a lot of staff. I really think that primarily they should take the responsibility to build a church community. Come on, Dave, take on a few more staff to make it happen. For example, you know, you look in the Bible and you read about the Apostle Paul. He went around winning people. He went around building kingdom. He went around opening churches. He did all of that stuff. Why are you guys not doing all of that stuff? Well, let me let you into maybe a little secret about the Apostle Paul, the superhero apostle. I'd like to say this, Paul, the Apostle Paul was like most of the people in this church. He was like, you've gone quiet on me. He was like, you're just waiting for the next bit. He was like most of the people in this church community. Let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul, yeah, the great Apostle Paul was a volunteer. Oh, you mean the one with the incredible international ministry opening churches all... Yeah, the one and the same, the one that we both read about in the Bible, the one who wrote the epistles, the one who did some incredible journeys, missionary journeys. I say to you this morning that he was a volunteer. Now, he was certainly a salt shaker. He was like this cellar going round and salt would come out wherever he was and season stuff. But also, you may not know, but he had a day job. And his day job was being a tent maker. How many knew that? And so here's Paul, who had a day job. Just like you. Just like me. We've got something that we do to pay the bills. It for him, it was tent making. So Paul was a tent maker and a salt shaker. You see where I'm going with this? And so in Acts 18, let me just bring you scripture and verse. Acts chapter 18 and verse, in fact, let me read from verse 1, give you some context. It's 3 that will be up on the screen, but let me read from verse 1 of Acts 18, says this. Then Paul, this is the apostle Paul was speaking about, then Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he, so he's on this salt shaking thing. There he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome. Paul lived, get this, Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers, just as he was. Wow. So here's this man of God, this Holy Ghost desperado who's going around shaking salt, starting churches, ministering to people, winning people all around Europe, and he's a tent maker. And so I think this. So what can we, I think, quite quickly now conclude from what I've just said? Simply this. Effectively, you and me, we are tent makers and salt shakers. Now, if we see this, and we don't kind of see that there's this divide between people who happen to lead church and lead us in God, and this chasm between people that necessarily stand on this stage and the people, lots and lots of them, who sit down there, I want to tell you, we are tent makers and we are salt shakers. That's what we are. And so the question here this morning isn't, are you a volunteer? You know, do you volunteer? Are you allowed to come to this ball tonight? Do you volunteer? That's not the question. The question more so is, where are you shaking salt? Where are you shaking salt? Who are the recipients, or what are the recipients of your salt shaking at this moment? And so, therefore, let me explain, in case you've not got this in simple terms. Therefore, you are a teacher. That's your tent making. You're a tent maker. Well, I'm a teacher. I'm not a minister. I don't stand up there. No. No, you're a tent maker. So you're a teacher and you're a salt shaker. You have the ministry of reconciliation. So you are a teacher in the ministry of reconciliation. So you teach kids and you teach teachers, but you are in the ministry of reconciliation. Do you get what I'm saying here? You work in industry. This is your tent-making profession. You are whatever. You work on the shop floor in the ministry of reconciliation. You are a businessman, businesswoman. You may be in big business. You may be a sole trader. You may have large business. But you know what? You are a businessman, businesswoman in the ministry of reconciliation. Same if you are a retail operative. That's a fancy word, isn't it, for working in a shop? Eh? A retail operative. Let me tell you, if you are a believer in Christ and you have a ministry of reconciliation, you are virtually the most important person in that shop. You know that? Tent makers and salt shakers. And so from our tent making, we are receiving income to pay the bills. This is our tent making. but shaking salt wherever we go. This means this. Whatever the season, you're bringing the seasoning. That's it. Whatever the season, whatever the scenario, you're bringing the seasoning. You're the answer to that situation. As an ambassador of Christ, at that situation at work, you're the answer. Oh, my boss will say, no, you're the answer. If you're salt, then you're the seasoning. And ultimately, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. So you are the salt. Whatever the season, you're bringing seasoning. So being a volunteer isn't something you do, but actually it's who you are. It's who you are. Jesus said you are the salt. A natural thing of you being salt is that you will season. There will be a usefulness to your life. And I hope that this isn't too simple enough. No, I hope this is too simple enough that we understand what I'm saying. That whether we're volunteering here on a Sunday or in the week, or whether we're at work or we're at the gym or wherever we are on the ministry of reconciliation. Because salt is part of our serving. Let me wind up this morning by just sharing just a very quick story. Something that happened to me just a few years ago. And so I found myself one day on the roof of a building that was on this site that now no longer exists. We demolished it as part of the development of the site, but at that time it was our office block and there were leaks everywhere and it was a bit of a mess. And it was an awful lot of money to get it fixed, and we hadn't got the money, to be fair, at the time. And so I jumped on the roof with a couple of my mates, and we thought, we'll sort it. So we were working on this roof, i.e. a bit of tent making, really. Wasn't my day job, really. I was up there, and I was doing a bit of tent making. And so we were fixing the roof. Anyway, that's not really the point. The point is that as I was doing this one day, there was an international speaker that came to visit our site. And, of course, this is late afternoon, after a hard day's work, I was tired, I was sweaty, I was in my work clothes, and I was very dirty. And I was asked to come off the roof and to meet this very special man, actually, this speaker. And there was another minister, another leader that brought this speaker. And I went over to meet this guy, and I went to shake his hand. And I think the guy that brought him, the leader that brought him, was pretty embarrassed about my state. And so he quite sarcastically introduced me as the Apostle of Wigan. Meet the Apostle of Wigan. To which I thought for a very quick second, not to respond badly, and I said these words. I said, thank you so much. This one doesn't mind getting his hands dirty. To which the speaker, really, I think, was pretty impressed with my answer, and we went on to speak, and just for a few moments we were able to converse with each other. What is my point with that? My point simply is this, to finish, that sometimes the ministry of reconciliation isn't that powerful convo that you have about God with someone. It's not just about that. But sometimes the ministry of reconciliation is simply putting out chairs. That's it. Or it's simply helping. Outside of this context, it's simply helping your neighbor. It's simply helping those guys that are having a go, that maybe not even part of us. They're having a go. They've got a charity, or they're trying to help a group of people who are marginalized, or it's simply helping people like that. Let's not make volunteerism just about this building. Let's not make, otherwise, if we do that, we bring the ministry of reconciliation to just into these four walls. How many know that there's far more people need to hear this incredible message of Christ and his kingdom who never come into this building? So I hope that's inspired you and challenged you at the same time, and that you go out of here knowing that you are not only a tent maker. This is how I earn my money. This is my tent making. So I'm a tent maker, but I'm a salt shaker. And I finish with the question that I mentioned to you just a few moments ago when I said this. So who and what is feeling the effects of your sprinkled salt right now? Who in this world, who are you engaging with, and what are you saying to them? How is your salt seasoning the situations? How are you being an ambassador of Christ at this time?